Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Monday it is. It's another Super Bowl week. It seems like we do this every year now, because we kind of do. Chiefs, Eagles, coming up in just 6 days. Who's ready for that? We'll get you ready for that here on Sports Daily. It's Jacob Albrock and Tommy Caster. We have a lot to get to on a Monday. No football this weekend, and it's still a wild and crazy reaction Monday. Thank you to the NBA for jamming and forcing its way into the show content for the first time this season. But we'll get all of that, massive NBA trades that we can discuss as much as we can. It's, of course, college basketball country, and we had two outcomes this weekend that are pretty wild and crazy, and we'll have both of those covered. KU with one of the more disappointing losses it's seen in a long time, and K-State with one of the most impressive wins it's seen in a long time. Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, will join us here in just a little bit here in this hour, actually, to talk about the Cats' big win up in Ames. We will get some Royals talk in, the trade that they made last week, and there's some other things, you know, about things that maybe were going to happen that didn't happen. Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider, will also join us later in the next hour to talk about that. Tommy, we had the beautiful weather this weekend. It felt really nice. How are you this morning?
Man, I'm good. Ready to kick things off. You know that it was a wild weekend, and when it was a big NBA story, when I'm actually texting you about that. Like,
yeah,
I'm on record. I don't follow the NBA much. I don't really like it. I don't care for it. But I'm even like talking about the NBA, like with you. You and I are going back and forth on it over the weekend. So it was a wild weekend, no doubt about it.
We all like the NBA when it gets to the postseason, when it comes to the star players, right? And those things. And it was some pieces have fallen here over the last couple of days. And I'll, you know, we won't lead the show at this or anything, but I will tell you that I think this is the worst trade I've ever seen in the NBA, Luka Doncic, and maybe one of the worst I've ever seen in sports, but we can discuss. And then the other trades that were made the next day, back that up 100%. But later, we'll talk Cats. We'll talk KU. We've got Chiefs coming up in Super Bowl week, Tommy, which I think will always lead. K-State talk coming next, and KU later this hour. We'll give away some HTO on the program today, so make sure you stay tuned for your opportunity to win that. The beautiful weather. Tommy, did you get out and play golf? We all know Crestview, great sponsor of this program. I went out and hit the range. So I got about 15, 20 minutes in on the range out there at Crestview. It was packed. My wife was playing tennis. That parking lot was packed. I went over to the range. We kind of had to stagger because we've had kids like everybody else on the planet who've been sick all week and weekend. So it was like, get me out of the house. I'm going out there. You went out and played. Yes. So
I did.
You were planning on it.
I did. Yeah. I played 9 holes yesterday with my son. We went out and I mean, it was beautiful. The weather was absolutely
so nice.
Perfect. And, you know, so really, I mean, it was great. It was wonderful. By the time I got out there, it was still pretty busy on the course. And I know a lot of people were taking advantage of that.
That just goes to show you, like, if you want to know how many people are out there having fun, you get a nice day and early February.
Yeah.
And that place was popping. But it was fun. Thanks to Crestview for their support of the program. And thanks to them for whatever they had to do with the great weather we had this weekend. Give them a call and ask them about their memberships. Yeah, we've been sick. Not me, thankfully. Knock on wood. God bless. Knock on wood. The wife and I have avoided it, but like there is flu everywhere.
It's all over the place.
So we're two of three went down. I think they're both good now. It's just like you walk around with hand sanitizer in your pocket. My hands literally bleeding last night from how much I've been washing my hands, trying to like wrangle these kids and keep them entertained. Long weekend, ready for Super Bowl week though. Maybe everybody will get it out of their system. And good, you know, good on you to everyone out there dealing with the sick kids. You know, you get something like this where it lasts a long time and their boredom will take them down before I think the flu will. So good luck, parents. Hang
Daddy,
in there.
Daddy, do you have anything that we can do? What is there to do around here? Come on, entertain us.
Like, and then, of course, we have one kid who's not sick and she's asked, like, now what do we do? I'm like, you may have the worst weekend because they get to, like, play video games. They don't get to play all that often, but they do when they're sick. And I'm like, you don't get, you know, you just have to hang out with us. Sick. Yuck. Good luck, everyone. All right, Tommy, let's just, you know, kind of crack the door here on the Chiefs, because we'll talk a lot of Chiefs today and all week long. This buildup, I think, is going to be all about football. And that doesn't always happen. In fact, I don't think it happened the last time these two teams played. When these two teams played in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, all we heard about was Andy Reid back against the Eagles and the Kelce brothers facing off in the Super Bowl. Like for 2 weeks, that's all we heard about, right? There's nothing but football to be played here. Like all that stuff, this is all football. Like everything you see, all the storylines, all the talk, like it's all football. It's all X's and O's essentially, and I'm here for it. This is going to be an incredible matchup. I think I don't see a path where this game disappoints us. I think it's going to be an awesome, awesome football game.
Yeah, and there are so many different things, I think, storyline-wise that are, you know, separate from what we dealt with a couple of years ago when these two teams faced off. We're talking about, can Jalen Hurts get it done? Is Nick Sirianni a Super Bowl caliber championship coach? You know, can the Chiefs obviously complete this dynasty? There are so many different things that are, I think, at stake. And as we get closer and we're leading up to the game, you know, we'll dive into all of it. But I'm excited for it, man. I think that you've got clearly the two best teams in the NFL. That's not always the case. I think that's the case this season, you know, especially with what we saw in the NFC. You know, my pick going into the year, I thought the Lions would get there, and the Eagles, you know, just basically ran over everybody. Of course, the Commanders knocked off the Lions. But, I think that we've got an opportunity here to, you know, get a really, really great game. And it was a great game the last time these two teams faced off in the Super Bowl.
Well, look, and let's be, the Lions had injuries. I was on Philadelphia. I thought Saquon would do exactly what he's done, which was allow Jalen Hurts to be, I don't want to say hidden or masked, because that's not fair to Jalen Hurts. It's that Jalen Hurts is not going to be what, I don't know, Patrick Mahomes is, quite frankly. Jalen Hurts is never going to be the sole reason, let's put it this way, that the Eagles win a Super Bowl. Right. Like he's not that kind of quarterback. Not that he's not great. He's great at what he does. And the thing for the Eagles this year and why this was so great is, OK, if he's not going to be what Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson is, even though he shows flashes of that. Right. We know he can at times and they've certainly surrounded him with talent. They've done everything so well. And I think their front office deserves a lot of credit for that. And, you know, Nick Sirianni probably does, too, in the way and the style that in which they play. They just take it out of his hands a lot. Now, they didn't in the last game they played, but they've got a great offensive line. Barkley allows Hurts. Basically, what the Eagles have done as a Cowboys fan, Tommy, I would tell you what the Eagles have designed and done is what has always needed to be done for Dak Prescott, right? Like, and they're different quarterbacks, but put them in a situation to succeed, and the Eagles have certainly done that for Hurts, and he is succeeding. We'll talk about all of it as we make our way through, but when we return, the big college basketball story of the weekend, one of the great upsets in college basketball history. Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Cats, joins us next.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And we welcome you back into Sports Daily, and we welcome in voice of the K-State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, in the most festive we've been in a while here on a Monday morning, coming off of a weekend of college hoops where K-State has historically one of the great wins of all time. When you consider what Iowa State has done, the win streak that they had that was snapped, K-State continues to play well, now a three-game win streak. Wyatt, I think it's easy for Cat fans to just say, God, where has this been? Too little, too late. But man, I got to tell you, in the Big 12, the reality is it's definitely not too late, right? They jumped 20 spots in the net with that win. Those are the kinds of wins that you can pile up. Now, they're going to have to overcome 11 overall losses, but they're very much now in the mix the way they're playing to get up into that top half of the Big 12, which, who knows, that might be enough. You just got to get there. So, you know, there's no sense in worrying about at this point. What a weekend in Ames.
Oh, 100%. Let's kind of set the stage of this. K-State had lost, 15 consecutive road games. Iowa State had won 29 straight at home over the last 2 years, and K-State wins by 19. I mean, I don't know how you explain it, but I do think this team has turned the corner to a certain degree on a lot of different things. I'll be honest, it was easily their best game of the year. No one would probably argue with that. They had five guys in double figures. All of the starters were in double figures. Iowa State, one of the elite offensive teams in the country, shoots 36.5%. But even if you go deeper than that, I mean, K-State had 14 offensive rebounds. They had a 21-6 advantage points in the paint. Their effort was better. Their execution was better. It was a great win. And as you said, when you start looking at some of the biggest upsets and or big victories on the road in K-State history, this was going to be in the neighborhood, no doubt about it.
Wyatt, we're talking about a guy this morning, Doug McDaniel, who has absolutely asserted himself on this team. And I think that's been such an important factor for the Wildcats turning things around in the last couple of weeks. 20 points for him, 5 assists. I don't know if you can quite put into words what he has meant to this team over the last few games. But I mean, he clearly has been the catalyst, I feel like, for what the Wildcats have been able to do.
Well, let's put it this way. K-State has won 4 times now in the Big 12. In 3 of those games, he's had 17, 15, and 20. His assists are up. His turnovers are down. His shooting percentage is still just okay. But the decision-making and the emotion of how he is playing and his trying to be a leader, more of a leader, really is kind of shining. Really proud of Doug, to be real honest with you. I think Coach Tang has probably challenged him as much as he's challenged any player since he's been here, from at least my perspective. Now, Coach Tang may disagree with that, because in the early days with Marquise Noel, he challenged him off the charts too. But I got to give Doug a lot of credit. He's a tough kid, and he's just hung with it. There's no doubt he's been a major factor in this. Coleman's been really good, too. And I know he got a lot of criticism early for he can't do this or he didn't do that or he needs to be more productive. And all of that is probably fair to a certain point. But those two guys are doing what they're supposed to be doing right at the moment.
You know, it's funny with Coleman Hawkins. And he's Coleman Hawkins is what he is. And he's kind of doing now what he's been doing. He's not going to be some premier scorer. Now, 17 points, look, that's nothing to shake a stick at, but it's the 7 rebounds. It's the 4 steals. It's like, that's what he's always been. And it's what he's doing lately. But it's interesting that the spotlight has been on him and his game hasn't really changed. It's like they've learned how to now
play off of his strengths, which is everything else that he does. So I think all of that criticism for him, while it was unfair early in the year, and he had some bad games, but it wasn't, he wasn't playing that bad. He was by far not the most responsible for the bad play. And it all fits now. This is what we thought we were going to get out of this team, Wyatt. Like this, it all before the season started seemed to fit on paper. Jerome Tang has his point guard. We know he likes that play iso ball and let his point guards do that. Mm-hmm. He's got this great shooter in Hassan. He's got a, you know, kind of a utility knife in Hawkins, and then all that. Like, we all thought this was going to work, and then it didn't, and now it is. So what changed?
Well, better point guard play, as we lined up line there, that's obvious. The one thing I will say, I think that Coleman is doing now better than he did before is probably shot selection one. And then he's, you know what, the truth is, for a 6'10 guy, he's a pretty elite passer. And I think he has kind of figured out that he doesn't just have to score 20 every night like everybody talked about, but he can have 15 and 7 or 8 and get along just fine, especially if everybody else around him is going to be more consistent, which has also been true. I don't know what you guys thought, but I thought in his overall game, Brendan Hassan Saturday was by far his best game as a Wildcat. He was doing everything, fellas, steals, diving on the floor. Go back and look at the film of that 1-3. He literally was behind the Pioneer Seed logo on the far side of the floor as we were looking at it and made a three-pointer. It's incredible. His effort was off the charts, and I think that's the other thing that people are seeing. You know, we can talk about individual plays, playing better as a team, but the reality of it is the way they're playing in terms of playing hard is a different level now than it was 3 weeks ago.
I think there was a crucial part in the second half of the game, Wyatt, where the Cyclones cut the Wildcat lead to 58-52 midway through the second half. And that was kind of the moment that at least I thought, you know, uh-oh, here we go. It's got, you know, you've got this Iowa State team that they're number three in the country and they're starting to come alive and the crowd is getting behind them and all of that. And then all of a sudden, the Wildcats just extinguished that push from Iowa State. That was some resilience that I don't think we've seen in quite a long time from Kansas State.
Tommy, that's such a great point, because I think in an earlier game like that in the season, even back to the non-conference, they would have probably given up the lead and probably lost the game. So there's growth there, too. And I can tell you, being there in person, witnessing it, the fever pitch in the building at that point when they cut it to 58-52. Keep in mind, leading up to that, there was a stretch into the first half, into the second, and this is hard for me to even say, but Stan pointed this out. K-State had a run of 30-6 against the third-ranked team in the country. And that's mind-boggling. And you're right, though. That somehow, some way, they answered offensively and defensively and kind of stemmed the tide there. And once they built it back up to double digits, you kind of got this sense, just looking at the guys like, hey, we're going to do this. And they did.
You know, it's interesting you bring up that run, because that's kind of been their thing lately, right? In these wins, they'll have one of those a game where it's just like a wild run. And that's enough if you play good defense. I mean, it is. So we can talk all day long about the offense and these players. Is there a level of defense now being played that we're good with, you know, the rest of the way? Like, have they reached a point where, like, okay, now they can, you know, now they can get in there and get scrappy and shut it? Because you can't get on a run if the other team's scoring. And that's a big part of these runs as much as anything else.
That's it. And again, I'll repeat that Iowa State shot 36.5% and scored 61 points. This is a team that averages over 80 points a game and is one of the better offensive teams numbers-wise in the country. I just felt like K-State did a really good job. Well, let's go back to the first of the game. K-State's down 13-4, and I'm sure most fans were going, see, I told you, they won a couple home games. This is a different animal on the road. I probably was thinking it to a small degree myself, right? But if you look at that 13-4 spurt, all of their – those were basically perimeter shots. They were getting nothing on the inside. And that was a trend that I thought was really something that continued throughout the entirety of the game. It probably helped that Joshua Jackson got a couple of early fouls and never really got into the flow of the game in the first half. No doubt about that. But, you know, again, I'm just going to say the effort and the defense that they've played in the last three games is just at a different level. And I think our fans are probably pretty excited about that, and they should be. Going back to what you said earlier, Jacob, I get it if they're saying, hey, where's this been all along? I think this is what we all expected all along, right? But I look at it like, well, at least they're finally there. Let's see what they do now. Because they're a pretty confident bunch, to be honest.
Well, yeah,
I wasn't expecting this. Were you?
Not at all. I mean,
that anybody was.
Yeah, on the road.
I bet it.
Sure.
I bet it. I bet the K-State win, Wyatt, believe it or not. Just going to toss that in.
I saw it.
You're a smarter man than I am.
Smart. I didn't tell you the full story. I also I put it with a KU outright win. I wasted it. I wasted it is what I did.
Well, you know what? It was let's just talk about that real briefly if you want to. An incredible, weird, wild weekend in the Big 12. I mean, you think about how good the league is, right? Iowa State had won 29 straight at home. That wasn't even the longest streak in the league. Think about that a second. Houston had won 33 straight. Tech beats them after losing their best player in the first 5 minutes of the game. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then the KU Baylor game. I mean, how do you describe that?
There's a word for it that I'm not allowed to say on the radio.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, you know, to your point, it's just with
second half, Tommy, that's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, as wild of a weekend as it was, I mean, you know, ranking all the crazy games, I think probably, I mean, it was wild just because of the circumstances surrounding it, but it probably doesn't even crack the top three, is the Arizona-Arizona State game. Arizona State, the next team that the Wildcats face. I mean, you've got Bobby Hurley pulling his team off the court to not shake hands with the Arizona folks, and now Kansas State, coming off of this huge road win in Ames, heads down to Tempe. What do you think the Wildcats need to do to follow up the effort on Saturday against Arizona State tomorrow night?
Well, effort is probably the key word there, right? I mean, if they can come into that kind of game and have that type of juice right out of the gate, they're probably going to need that to win there. If I rewatched the Arizona State yesterday morning while I was at work preparing for, you know, we're leaving today and play late tomorrow night in Tempe, so a lot of work to do there after being on the road on Saturday. But the Arizona State, Arizona, that game was anybody's game with 3 minutes to go, right?
Yeah,
it was a high level game. Both teams have a lot of offensive talent. I don't know necessarily that Arizona State is defending like K-State has been in the last three games. I'm hopeful that will be a real key factor, but it's going to be a load working against Jaden Quaintance and some of those guys. You probably saw the headbutt, I'm sure.
Yep.
Of that.
Yep.
But B.J. Freeman was good. Adam Miller was good. Jihad was good. I mean, they're not the deepest team, ASU, but they are athletic. You're going to have to play well to win there.
So, Wyatt, there's 12 or 11 or so games left. 10 games. 10 left. I'm trying to do this. So here's where I got that from. I'm thinking 12 because I think if they can get to 12 – they would be an NCAA tournament team. There's 10 games left. They would need, you know, to win. They'd need to basically go 8-2, which seems, I know it seems crazy.
Sure.
But if you look at their schedule, they get their most difficult games, at least on paper, Kansas, Arizona, and another game against Iowa State, all come at Bramlage. And then the other games they play, Arizona State, BYU, Utah, Arizona State again, UCF, Colorado, Cincinnati. Probably none of those other teams are going to make the NCAA tournament, if we're being honest with how this will play out. So you're looking at a scenario where if they win every game they should, if you want to look at it that way, or they can and can just take, you know, one of Kansas, Arizona, and Iowa State at home, there's a path there where they'd be in. They'd have whatever it is, 22 and 13, whatever it is, it would be enough. I'm telling you, it would be enough based on the, you know, every game being quad one, quad two type games, and they'd move up the Big 12 standings. It's there. It's there for them.
Well, you let's just kind of, to augment what you're saying, if you beat an Arizona, as an example, or you beat a Kansas in Manhattan or whatever. You're right. There are opportunities there, and that's going to augment your chances. That's the great part. The hard part about the Big 12 is how hard it is, right?
How hard to beat all those other teams anytime anyway. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even winning at UCF is going to be a challenge, depending on which UCF team shows, I suppose. But they are – what I just said about Arizona State, ditto. Lots of athletes – really, really fine team in my eye. And I think they're kind of like on the fringe too. West Virginia is probably the same without their best player. It's probably illogical to be thinking like we're thinking, you know, but as wild as it's been, why not dream a little bit, especially until K-State comes off whatever cloud they're hanging from, right? They've done pretty well here late. I mean, even when this started, you know, a couple of games before actually beating West Virginia, you could kind of see there were little flashes of, well, a little better there, a little better there. And now all of a sudden we're seeing this.
All right, Wyatt, it is a late night tomorrow, 9 p.m. tip out in Tempe. It's going to be a challenge. Just the time alone is going to be a challenge. People can hear it right here on the K-State Radio Network. We'd invite him to do it. Here we go. At least we got something, you know?
That's it. Yeah, that's what you play for, right? Opportunities. And this will be another really big opportunity in trying to build to a four-game streak. And I'm excited to see how they respond. I was excited going into Saturday to see what would happen. Was I overly optimistic? Not necessarily, but I was telling Coach Tang, he asked me about it. I say, I'm really prejudiced, so I always think K-State has a chance, right? And I learned many years ago that don't ever count them out. You can't take anything for granted, right? I remember playing Oklahoma in 2003, and they were supposed to kill us, right? Didn't happen that way. It went the other way, as a matter of fact. So, hey, anything's possible.
Anything's possible, and it's all right here for them. At least they're playing well. We'll start there and see how far that can take us. Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats. We appreciate it, Wyatt.
You got it. Thanks, fellas.
Man, what a game. All right, so I teased it there, Tommy, and I didn't know if I was going to talk about this, but we will, because Rick's talking trash. Says Friday, he said that KU had no chance at a one or a two seed, and I thought he was crazy. I think you're misremembering, Rick, who's been screaming from the rooftops how scared they are that KU's not going to get a one or a two seed. Tommy thinks you're crazy, thought you were crazy, probably doesn't today. That wasn't me. Like, these are my great fears coming alive. And so here's what happened with that bet. So I just get this gut feeling. Maybe it's because my kids are sick and I'm losing my mind. And I'm like, you know what? The way K-State's been playing, Iowa State's reeling a little bit. Iowa State's due. K-State's going to go up there and beat them. I was like, all right, let's see what that is on the money line. 10-1? Yeah, give me that. What's K? Oh, KU's an underdog in Waco? Let's throw them in there too. Now it's like plus 237 or whatever it is. 23-1. Throw it in there. I get through the game. I'm like, all right, here we go. Looking at the cash out, I'm like, no, we're good. We'll let this play out a little bit. KU gets a 19-point first half lead. And I'm like, God, I hate the jinx, but I'm losing my mind. I need everybody to get excited with me here. And I need to pat my own back about picking K-State. I'm going to send this out a little bit. Send it to Tommy. Send it to a couple other people. I have to go do something else, not paying a lot of attention at halftime. And then I start one of the threads of a bunch of KU fans start sending me some inappropriate things. And I'm like, what's happened here? What have I done? What have I done? The jinx is on. I Tommied the Jayhawks.
Hey, you should have cashed it out at halftime.
I know.
Why
did
you do that?
Cashed it out at halftime because I was like, they've got a 19-point lead. I'm not going to give up 60 extra dollars. It's a 19-point halftime lead. Let's talk about them next. Goodness gracious. We'll be back.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Hey, Hey, if you have a home construction need, Pepin Suter should be on your list of calls. Let Pepin bid your project, and you'll quickly see why they were the choice for us in our kitchen remodel. The work is top-notch, customer service even better, and they'll help you every step of the way. Call Pepin, 316-573-6822, or you can go to Pepin Suter, that's Suter.com. Check out all their great work. Any home construction needs, inside, outside, whatever it is, they've got you covered. Give them a call. Take their bid. You won't regret it. Welcome back into Sports Daily, everybody. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster. As great as the Wildcat win was over the weekend, KU's loss was probably, I won't say equally as bad, but real close. Losing to Baylor on the road, okay. Getting outscored by 30 in the second half on the way to a loss in a game in which you led by 19 at halftime, absolutely, unequivocally unacceptable. And wouldn't you know it, Tommy, Dwan Harris, Hunter Dickinson, KJ Adams, all 30 plus minutes. It doesn't work. Didn't work last year. It's not going to work this year. It's not going to work. It's not that, that's not what their path is. And I don't know what those minutes were by half. I don't know if, they played exactly half of those minutes on their way to a 19-0 lead. But you're just not going to get the level of offense that you need with those three on the floor that much together. Just not. You give up 60 points in the second half. This Kansas defense, which we've seen absolutely shut down some of the best offenses in the country, gave up 60 points in the second half. Unbelievable. I honestly can't believe it.
Well, you can't believe it because it's literally never happened before. This is the worst blown lead in the history of Kansas Jayhawks basketball. Like, the amount of points that Baylor came back from has literally never happened in the history of this program. Not even talking about the Bill Self era. I'm talking about the storied legacy history of the Jayhawks. It literally has never happened before. And so I think that that's what makes it so shocking and so difficult to wrap your head around, is just because we're in uncharted territory right now. In my opinion, this falls squarely on the shoulders of Bill Self. He did not manage his team well in the second half whatsoever. You had guys sitting on that bench that had shown at least sparks of effectiveness, but you're riding on guys like KJ Adams and Dwan Harris and Hunter Dickinson. It's that big three. It's those guys that Bill Self has leaned on the entire season. And you know what? I absolutely wholeheartedly agree with you. It is not working. They're the most experienced team in college basketball on paper. And those three guys have regressed from last year to this year. I don't know why, but it's just happened. And you know what? That's not necessarily on Bill Self. Maybe a little bit of it is. But the fact that you're not making adjustments and you're not making changes, and that's something that Bill Self has always been known for, is being able to make those in-game adjustments to get the best lineup on the court, to be able to, maintain, or at least, try to find a way to turn things around or stem the tide or whatever. He hasn't been able to do that. And you've got Flory Badunga, you've got Rylan Griffin, you've got AJ Store, you've got Diggy Coit, you've got some of these other guys who are sitting, they're languishing on the bench, when they could absolutely come in and give you a spark, and that didn't happen in this game. And everybody knew that, like, this was happening. Like, Baylor was coming back, and there was nothing that Kansas could do to stop it because the guys that could stop it were sitting on the bench.
Well, that's the part that confuses me the most. The problem, I think, with Dickinson, Harris, and Adams that much time together is you're not going to get enough offense out of two of the three. You just aren't. Harris is timid offensively, and maybe for good reason, and KJ Adams just isn't that kind of player. So then it's all on Dickinson, who fouls out in the game. And by the way, in the second half, Baylor shoots 22 free throws, hits 21 of them. The crazy thing is, when those three are on the floor together, you do think, all right, though, but they're going to lock you down defensively, right? That's what, like, when those three are out there, they're all really – good in their own way. At least Adams and Harris are really good, and Dickinson's big, but that's a good defensive team. At least it should be. And that's where it's like, how do you give up when those guys play that many minutes? How do they give up 60 points in the second half?
Yeah.
They had enough offense because they had built a 19-point lead. That's what doesn't make any sense to me. That's KU's wheelhouse. Now they can come out in the second half. If you want to run those three out there, you're going to shut the other team down. They didn't do that. That's what's so weird about that game. It doesn't make any sense. If KU's built to do anything this year, it's to protect a first half lead. That's what they should be doing. They should be one of the premier defensive teams in the country. Otherwise, those three players don't need to be out there collectively that way for that many minutes in a game. They're all three of great use. They're all three good to great players, but not together. Those pieces don't fit, and they haven't now since Hunter Dickinson came in. It's crazy that I just don't even know what else. I honestly, that outcome is crazier to me. Blowing that second half lead is far wilder to me than K-State going to Ames and winning a game, because it doesn't make any sense that they did that. Not that way. I mean, how do you go from allowing 21 points, Tommy, to 60?
Well, and even on top of that, too, keep in mind that Baylor, weren't they? I think they were down their top two scorers, or at least their top, like their top guy was out, right? You know, so
Edgecombe played. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't matter. They shouldn't. I don't care who. I don't care if they're playing Auburn this year. You don't blow a 19-point halftime lead when you're supposed to be one of the best defensive teams in the country, which they are. You just don't do that. You can't do that. It doesn't even seem possible. And so now we look at this as they, you know, doesn't really hurt them in the net all that much. But like this is what I think the great fear is for KU fans, and where do they land in the tournament? It's just like it's not as bad as it was last year, I don't think.
I think it is.
But it's close, but it feels the same. I don't know.
Like, yeah, Edgecombe went down with an injury early in the second half. Like he played when they scored 21 points in the first half, right?
Right.
He wasn't even part of the major comeback from Baylor.
It's wild. So they get Iowa State tonight, by the way, no time to think about it. I don't know who's more pissed, KU or Iowa State, I guess. We'll find out.
Both.
It's big Monday.
and then it's
at K-State, which no longer looks like anything anybody wants a part of. And then Colorado, Utah, BYU, who's, you know, sneaking kind of up there a little bit in the standings, Oklahoma State, Colorado, and then they finish with that gauntlet of Tech, Houston, Arizona, but two of the three are at home. I will say this, because you're sick of hearing me say it, I'm worried that they won't make it to Wichita. They have a lot of wins on the schedule that if they just do what they're supposed to, I don't think they have a ton of room to screw up like they did this weekend, maybe one more time, but they're going to have to handle the business that they're supposed to handle the rest of the way to make sure that it happens. But man, I just don't know, like, what are we seeing that makes you think that's going to happen consistently?
And I think it's a combination of a couple of different things, you know, and I put a lot of the blame solely on the shoulders of the head coach. And I know he's not the one out there, you know, executing, like it's the players. I totally get that. But it's a combination of a lot of things. It's the stubbornness of not moving away from your trusted guys. But like KJ Adams, for example, and he gets a lot of flack. And I like KJ Adams. I've always liked his energy and his effort and all of that. But if you watch his overall body of work, there's nothing that tells you that he is deserving of 35 minutes a game. He is deserving of probably 20 minutes in a game, or maybe even a little bit less than that, like coming in spurts to provide you with the spark. And I don't know, you know, last year, I think this is part of the reason why you said that, like, you don't think that it's as bad as last year. I think it's actually worse, because this team has gotten more experience and there's more depth and there's more talent on the roster. And you watch what like a guy like Flory Badunga does in limited minutes. And I know he fouls, and I know that he's still kind of raw and rough around the edges and all of that. But you watch his body of work, and you watch what he can do, and then you contrast that with what KJ Adams can do. And I don't know if anybody can make the argument that KJ Adams is deserving of 35 minutes of action and Flory Badunga is deserving of 15. Like, that doesn't equate in my head. You know, DeJuan Harris has been a pretty good distributor and a decent defender over the course of his career. But you're right. He's timid offensively. He always has been. But you watch him and then you watch, you know, guys like Shaq Moore or Zeke Mayo or whatever. And you're like, man, I understand the value of having DeJuan Harris run point.
Harris is better than them.
But I'm just talking about, like, especially offensively and the spark that you can provide offensively. It doesn't make sense in my head. And especially when you see the talent, like the Jayhawks a year ago were forced to play the guys that they had. They didn't have anybody else. They had no depth. Like, they had to. You have options now, but you're still sticking with the guys that are not getting it done for you. And it doesn't make any sense to me.
So I don't think Harris is probably okay to me. He took three threes. Like, that was at least it wasn't one of those games where he just, for whatever reason, refuses. He didn't hit any of them. I thought he was fine. Here's the solution. And we all know what it is. It's Flory Badunga. I mean, we all know what it is, but to me, it doesn't have to only be at the behest of KJ Adams. Like, get Dickinson off the floor. I don't want to see Dickinson play 31 minutes either. He's not athletic enough. He's not in shape enough, whatever you want to call it. That dude shouldn't be playing. Like, cut his minutes back to 27, get him more breaks. Run a lineup out there that's Badunga and KJ Adams.
I probably have a higher vertical than Hunter Dickinson does. Like, I think at this point, like, I'm 39 years old. I think I can jump higher than Hunter Dickinson can.
Whatever it is, and he is so good. Again, in the conversation, and should be to be college basketball's best player, but they're not doing him any favors and helping him. And he is not wired, I don't think, to play 31 minutes a game. So use Badunga, get Dickinson some more rest. Let KJ Adams be your spark plug, and it's time to turn loose Flory Badunga. It is. If KJ Adams, like, you don't even like, even the foul issue in the young play, like, that's what KJ Adams, that's why he's valuable to this team, is because Badunga got in quick foul trouble. Let's get him off. We got KJ Adams. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Like, let those three split those minutes more. We should never see a game where Flory Badunga plays 15 minutes. You're kidding me?
Right. We should never see a game where Kansas, with those guys, are out-rebounded 40-27. That should never happen when you have Hunter Dickinson and Flory Badunga and KJ Adams.
Dickinson cannot play a game, Tommy, where he plays 31 minutes and has 5 rebounds.
Yeah.
He's a 7-foot-tall, 26-year-old playing college basketball. You can't play 31 minutes and get 5 rebounds.
And look, I think that there's a philosophical question with this, too, as far as the way that college basketball operates nowadays, that goes directly in contrast with the way Bill Self likes to coach, where it's trust over talent. It doesn't work in today's modern college basketball. You have to ride that talent, and that talent is Flory Badunga.
We're frustrated. Hey, tonight... They go tonight. Here we go. We'll have that. We're going to talk a lot of Super Bowl next hour. Don't go away. It's Sports Day.